may be seated. Several weeks ago, on Wednesday night, I started a series of messages that I haven't preached in years, but they are very applicable to the general progress of Christians today. Last time I spoke on what we're to be. We're to be salt, light to the world, branches of Christ to the vine, ambassadors to a foreign world, servants of righteousness, epistles to the world. We're to be sons of the Father. We're to be soldiers in the warfare. Now, I want to talk about how we become what we are to be. You know, a lot of people realize we're not what we ought to be. I'm one of them. And so we need to concentrate on that a little bit today. Scripture upon which we'll be basing much of our talk today is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and may not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we become what God wants us to be? That's the question tonight. You know, we sometimes have a vague idea that we ought to be different. We ought to do better. We ought to accomplish more. But how to do it, we fail to see. And how do we become what we are to be? Well, partly at the outset, God changes us at salvation. And so on the instant of salvation, God prepares us by the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in us, and He's the powerhouse for us. And so it starts there automatically. But there must be a depending upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as payment for our sin. And upon that decision to trust what Jesus did on Calvary as payment for our sins, the entrance of the Holy Spirit of God into our being to fuel the, shall we say, desire to fulfill the will of God for our life. I think when I first got saved, that desire was stronger. I think it's affiliated with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that it had lost its strength in the believers at Ephesus. When God wrote through the Apostle John the letter to the church at Ephesus, we find in Revelation. Now, by believing and depending upon God, depending upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, His death, burial, and resurrection are the foundation, are the basis for our beginning to be and growing in what we are to be for God. But not only are we automatically upon salvation changed and prepared and enabled, but voluntarily in yielding to Him, in allowing Him to guide our lives, our decisions, our efforts to glorify Him, to live as He would have us live before this world in order to accomplish what we are to be. We'll be guided, empowered, trained by the Holy Spirit of God. The ability, the enablement to successfully live the Christian life for the Lord Jesus Christ is not in us. It must come by the Holy Spirit of God in us, working and living through us. Then the matter of the being yielded to Him, being guided, being empowered, consciously yielding our days to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why over and over I preach to people and teach people and counsel people to start the day with the Lord. To commit that day to Him, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit of God to take over, yielding ourselves to Him first thing in the morning. Inevitably, the devil tries to take the day and he starts out early. If we don't commit that day to the power of the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to live that day for Him, it's always a wasted day. So many times, so many people, sincere, desiring to live for the Lord, close the day with the Lord instead of starting it with Him. All you can do at the close of the day is ask Him for forgiveness for failure that day, because you have. If we would begin the day with the Lord, commit it to Him, enable Him to enable you. God is a gentleman, as it were, more of one than any of us. And He does not intrude upon our life unwanted. He will enable. He will give grace and strength and guidance if we make that commitment to Him. If we've talked with the Lord and committed our day to the Lord and the devil rears his ugly head later on in the day, there's a sense of saying to ourselves, I've already dealt with that one. But if we have not, inevitably, we fall and fail to be able to live for God that day. You know, experientially, as you live for the Lord as a Christian, we need to, first of all, claim our birthright by faith. We are God's child, and He wants victory for us. By the way, the battle for the day should never be fought in order to have victory. It should be fought from a position of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bought the victory for us. If we'll but claim it and live for Him that day. You know, as we're guided by the Holy Spirit of God, as we walk in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives, as we are trained by His Spirit in the Word of God and in the application of the Word of God to our daily tasks and daily problems and daily warfare, victory in taking us and allowing the Holy Spirit to take us to what we ought to be for that day will be done. Thirdly, we become what we're to be experientially as you claim your birthright by faith in that early morning prayer. As you reckon yourself to be what God says you are. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Christian living for the Lord. We're to claim it on the authority of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. God is able to overcome any failure on our part. He is able to give us the grace of God, the strength not to fail, and to let Him live through us whatever God has given to us for that day's labor. It's always a battle. The devil wants every day in our life that we'll give him. And we have to start out on the strength of the Holy Spirit of God if we have victory. Now, another question: why am I to be what I am to be? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of this? It is not simply to be a part of a contest between believers as to who is the best. But it's to glorify God on a daily basis. To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross in your place and mine. Amen. The goal is not to display our affection. We don't have any. Only as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to live through us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to be what we're to be in order to glorify God. So many times we change that around and attempt to do what we do as Christians to glorify self. And it never works. Our life fails because we have the wrong goal. The goal is to glorify God. In the second place there, we're to be useful to God and to his purpose for our life. Somebody said, well, I don't have any ability. I don't have any talent. The talent of being submitted to the Holy Spirit of God to be used of him is the major talent we need to have. It was a little bit like a situation we were in aboard ship. We had been flying protection for the fleet. I flew in helicopters and with dipping sonar, and we had been relieved, and we were coming into the carrier, and the torpedo planes and other planes that had been out on patrol were coming in, and we were behind the carrier. One of those torpedo planes came in a little bit low, and the deck hand waved them off. Well, as you know, probably know, in order to give the every bit of benefit from the way the wind was going, the carrier to take on planes turns into the wind. And behind the carrier, being going into the wind, plus the speed of the carrier, creates a vortex behind the carrier. That torpedo plane came in a little too low, and the man waved it off. And he poured it to it. We could hear that thing shudder as it wound out. But it was in that vortex of air and couldn't make it. And he went in. The rescue chopper, which was a Piesecke twin engine, or twin rotor, went in, picked up the pilot, the co-pilot, radioed the ship, and we in our aircraft heard the radio transmission. We've got them both, and we're coming in. And the pilot said, you're going to have to get that third man. They've gone to the ship. They've headed in. You see, the gunner in that torpedo plane had to crawl through a tunnel to get up to the place where he could get out. They had gotten the pilot and the co-pilot. But it took him a good while to get out, and that plane was down in the water a long ways. Well, when he came up, the Piesecke was already almost to the carrier. And so the only way I could help that, do that was to buckle myself in the door, and they would put their wheels in the water, and he would grab my wrists and I would grab his, and then pilot would lift us out. I'm not a strong person, and I was sweating it. About the time that we were coming in to pick him up, pilot of the Piesecke, the Piesecke pilot, came and said, we'll get him, we see him. And so pilot, and I said, whew. You know, I wanted to do what was necessary. And I was going to try it if I had to. But I sure was glad that the one that was equipped to do it came in and got him. I mean, that guy was soaking wet and weighed more than I did. But God enabled. You know, We don't ever know in the morning what God has for us to do that day. Believe me, I was praying. I was praying for that situation. I was going to do what I had to do. And I was ordered to do. But I said, praise you, Lord. I don't have to do it. God answered prayer. You know, a lot of times, in order to be useful to God, we have to do things that are beyond what we feel we're capable of doing. I was yielded to the Lord to do what I could. And I believe he was able to give that guy enough grip that I wouldn't drop him. But thank God it was not necessary. God answered prayer. You know, we never know. I never had the first inkling of an idea. I mean, I was a sonar operator. And when I went out that morning, I wasn't thinking about having to be called upon for anything of that nature. You don't know what is ahead for you any day you face. You don't know what's ahead. But God does. And there is never a time when he's not able to handle it. Just as much as he was able to handle that situation on that day. I thank God for the experience of trusting the Lord. And it's not the first and not the last and not the only times that God has answered definite prayer in our lives. Patsy and I live on a daily basis looking to the Lord. And he never has failed. Never. But we want to be useful to God and his purpose. And we don't know what his purpose is for us tomorrow. We don't know. We know what our schedule, normal schedule is tomorrow. We'll be taking care of some young'uns, just like we did today. But we don't know what's ahead. It's in God's hands. But thank God his hands are able to handle it, whatever is ahead. Not only to be useful to God and his purposes, but to respond for his love for us. That's why I want to be what I ought to be, or why I am to be what I am to be. To respond to his love for me. When I think where I could be, but for the grace of God, for his salvation, glory to God. He's able. And I'm to be what I am to be because of being obedient to his command. I want to obey the Lord. Even more really in my thinking than I was willing to obey the order to lay down in the door of that helicopter. That HO4S. Hook myself up. Lay there to do what I could do. I am to respond to God's orders as much or more than to any orders I've ever received from the U.S. government. We're to be obedient unto His commands. Folks, God lays down a number of commands in His Word. I think, and usually when I talk about this, I'm thinking about what is known as the Great Commission. It isn't a commission. When I was in OCS, Bainbridge, Maryland, I learned that commissions can be rejected. You can refuse a commission. I understand that's true not only in the Navy, but in other branches of the service as well. But in no service in the United States military is it okay or right to disobey a command. And when we go to Matthew 28, 18 through 30, that's not a commission. It's called the Great Commission, but it's not. It's the Great Command. And we as believers are to seek to obey His command to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them, training them, and sending them out to do the same thing. Paul put it this way, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. It's not to stop with us. It's not to stop with those we reach. The reason we are losing ground in reaching the world for Christ is because too many times it stopped with us. Folks, God did not commission you and me to go as a witness. He commanded us to go. And you are not right with God if you do not witness for Christ. I miss opportunities. And I feel guilty when I do. Because I am guilty. I challenge you tonight. God tells us what, not only what we're to be, but why we're to be what we're to be. To be obedient unto God. There is no excuse for disobedience of an order in the military. And there's no excuse for disobedience to God's orders. God help us to reevaluate our lives, to understand what we're to be, who we're to be, and how we're to be that way, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do it in your strength. I can't do it in mine. But we can give the Word of God, trusting the Holy Spirit of God to bring fruitfulness in His will. It's not our decision. as to what bears fruit. It's God's decision. And he says, you will bear fruit in due season. One may water, one may plant the seed, one may water the seed, but God's the one that gives the increase in every instance. Are you faithful planting the seed? Are you faithful watering the seed? Are you faithful seeking to harvest for the glory of God? God bless you as you do so. And he will bless you as you do so. Anything in your life that hinders the obedience of the Lord as a testimony for him, move it out. And get busy for God. Father, burn into our hearts the reality of your commands. Enable us to understand this isn't an option. It's an order. To a far greater general than any soldier ever had. A far greater admiral than any Navy man ever had. One day, every one of us is going to stand before you. And our obedience is going to be examined. Obedience will be rewarded. God, help those who are embarrassed to stand at the judgment seat of Christ with nothing accomplished for him. Have your way in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.